The U.S. has unveiled what it calls Plan B for countering Iran. The U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo laid out the U.S. strategy to apply maximum pressure on Iran, addressing not just nuclear program, but also Iran's role in the region. Otherwise, it will begin by imposing the most severe sanctions ever on the country. The question is, does this U.S. plan have any buyers and wide support? Our guest joining us for this edition of the debate, professor at the University of Tehran, Fuad Azadi, joins us in the studios. And also from the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane joins us from Washington, D.C. John, welcome. Fuad Azadi, I'm going to start with you, looking at what Michael Pompeo has called or is asking for this coalition to work against Iran, citing 12 preconditions for this coalition to act against Iran, of course, along with the United States. What are your initial thoughts on this?
Well, it was an amusing speech. Very confused. It seems that Mike Pompeo doesn't know any history, doesn't know Iranian internal politics, doesn't know Iranian foreign policy, and doesn't know how to deal with Iran. Listing 12 demands that are not achievable and no one is going to take seriously is a sign of weakness, I think, is a sign of desperation. There is no plan B. This was not a plan, this was just a joke. No one in Iran will take this seriously. It will lead Iranian people to the opposite direction that he is hoping for. They are going to rally behind the flag. They're seeing a U.S. administration that's out of touch with reality. And they're going to support the Iranian government even if they have difficulties with the Iranian government because they see crazed individuals in the White House making strange speeches. So I think after all and overall, the speech says a lot about who this man Pompeo is and what Trump foreign policy is all about.
Well, Michael Lane, let's break a couple of these down. We can't break all of them down, but we're going to try to merge some of them together. But the first one I'd like to ask your reaction on are the sanctions that the U.S. Secretary of State said will impose the strongest sanctions in history if Iran fails to comply with this list of demands. And it said that Iran will be battling to keep its economy alive and that this is just the beginning and that Iran will be feeling the sting of sanctions. When the U.S. is threatening Iran in such a tone, what kind of reaction would anybody get when it's being threatened in the form and manner that the U.S. threatened Iran with tonight in this speech from the U.S. Secretary of State Pompeo?
Good evening. You know, I can see where some in Iran would consider Secretary Pompeo's speech to be something of a threat. Certainly, if I was part of the Iranian government, I might myself look at it that way. But I think Secretary Pompeo meant it in a different way. He didn't mean it as a threat. He meant it as a cold, serious, very deliberate analysis as to what it was going to take to please the Trump administration or to reach agreement with the Trump administration in terms of the issues that the Trump administration considers to be outstanding. There aren't many things on that list of 12 that were not part of the Obama administration's wish list as well. It's just that the Obama administration was willing to overlook or negotiate away many of those 12 points in order to get to the key point, which was the nuclear deal. But none of these demands, I don't believe, are real but they're not new and they're not something that has just been made up by the Trump administration. They've been longstanding U.S. objectives.
Your response, Professor Azadi?
Yes, I think this is a wish list, wishes that are not going to come true. President Trump may wish to sleep with a porn star every night, but he's going to have a problem doing that. Nobody is going to take Mr. Pompeo seriously in Tehran. This is not a wish list. These are dictates for a country that has been defeated in a war. And Iran has not been defeated in a war. In fact, the reason Pompeo and the U.S. administration is so upset with Iran is because Iran is advancing, is because Iran is powerful, is because Iran is kicking U.S. out of the Middle East. That's why they're upset. Iran is under economic pressure, but Iran has advanced under economic pressure for the last many years. And coming up with this list is not going to help U.S. foreign policy. I think you look at people like Boris Johnson just came out with a statement criticizing what Pompeo is doing, saying that this is not achievable. What the U.S. is doing is isolating itself in the international community. People are laughing at the demands that the U.S. has. This is going to basically lead to nowhere. What Iran will do if this type of behavior from the United States continues is Iran is going to get out of the nuclear agreement, Iran is going to get out of the NPT, Iran is going to advance its peaceful nuclear program, and Mr. Pompeo can join President Trump in dreamland.
Well, Michael Lane, the online activity on this was really, it was just exploding everywhere. And I'd like to ask your reaction on this particular one that I found interesting. Michael Pompeo saying, we asked the Iranian people, do you want your country to be known as a co-conspirator with Hezbollah, Hamas, Taliban, and Al-Qaeda? The United States says you deserve better. Iran at one point saying, Iran asked the United States, do you want your country to be known as co-conspirator to the slaughter of Yemenis or the protector of Saudi Arabia in the murder of 3,000 fellow Americans on 9/11? Or the support of Al-Qaeda-linked groups in Syria? Iran says you deserve better. Your reaction to that?
Well, it's long-standing policy for United States presidents to talk over the heads of governments with whom we have disagreements and to try and communicate directly with the people. I don't go back forever, but I remember, as far back as President Nixon doing that. President Reagan used that technique extensively. It's not surprising every president since, including President Trump, has used the same technique. So I think that's what that is all about, is an attempt to talk to the Iranian people and let them know to the extent that there is unrest or distrust or dissatisfaction with the Iranian government leaders, that they do have options. Now, that having been said, I think there are other audiences as well for this speech. It was not just the Iranian people, it was the Iranian government leaders, it was the Korean government leaders who President Trump hoped was listening very closely. It's European government leaders, and it was the other countries in the Gulf that are already part of the U.S. coalition on this particular aspect of what's going on in foreign policy.
But we can't escape the fact, Professor Izadi, that the U.S. is dictating, and it didn't even say we. It said the U.S. wants, and it listed all the demands. So therefore, North Koreans should think what? Go ahead.
I think North Korea is watching how the Trump administration is behaving towards Iran. They are telling North Koreans to come and reach an agreement with us, with the United States. And it would be foolish for North Korean leaders to accept that type of demand from people who present maximalist positions. They want it all. They make a list of demands that they know it's not going to happen. The fact that Mr. Pompeo is presenting this wish list is because he is not interested in reaching any type of settlement with Iran. They're interested in regime change. They want to change the government of Iran. They want to follow the foreign policy of Eisenhower, having a coup d'etat in 1953. It seems the U.S. Government has not learned anything in the last 65 years since 1953. And I think President Trump is more or less done with its Iran foreign policy, with his Iran foreign policy. He wanted to destroy Obama's legacy, and he has managed to do that. And I think he has left Iran's strategy to people like Bolton and Pompeo, and they are just starting to have their daydream of changing the Iranian government. And I think they will leave office, leaving the Iranian government much stronger than what it is today, because they're isolating themselves and they're creating an atmosphere for Iranian government to advance its foreign policy, showing the opposition to be irrational. And they're going to lead Iranian people to support the Iranian government when the other option they have is following President Trump off a cliff. And Iranians are smarter than that.
Michael Lane, do you believe that the speech actually should be followed by headlines in the media that talk about how the U.S. wants regime change in Iran? I mean, some people say that's the only way to read this notion of a better deal or Iran changing its behavior. As Michael Pompeo stated, that's not what it's all about.
No, I think Secretary Pompeo was very careful not to mention regime change and even not to strongly infer regime change. In fact, he left the door wide open when he said that the United States is absolutely willing to listen to all parties and all ideas in terms of reaching an agreement on the terms of the 12 points that he laid out in his speech. So, you know, you could look at it and say, well, I don't think the Iranian government is ever going to agree to those 12 points. In fact, they're so distant that talks are probably even impossible. And then you can say, well, what he was really saying was regime change. But if the sanctions are effective and they are effective enough to hurt the Iranian economy, hurt the Iranian people to the point where the government responds to that and goes to the table and says, okay, we'd like to talk about this. What do we have in common? Then the window's open for negotiations and regime change is not what it's all about.
Well, Professor Izadi, maybe this, again, is another U.S. ploy. And of course, this is just speculation here, your opinion matters, to say that the door is open for negotiation by laying out these terms if Iran was to agree, knowing that Iran is not going to agree, but the U.S. Says this so the world thinks, okay, it's Iran, that it does not want to move ahead, again, demonizing Iran in this form and fashion.
What Mr. Pompeo is actually doing is presenting a case for punishing Iranian people for electing people like Rouhani. You know, in the speech, he started criticizing President Rouhani and Dr. Zarif, and that was really strange because these are going to be the Dr. Zarif is Iran's foreign minister. Dr. Zarif is Pompeo's counterpart. If he really is interested in negotiating with Iran, he is going to be negotiating with Dr. Zarif and criticizing him and using difficult language towards him. Is not going to help with anything. So the plan that the Trump administration seems to have is punishing Iranian people enough so they decide to change their government. And if you listen to the speech carefully, especially the question and answer part of it, the last answer that Pompeo gave was really that. He was referring to the idea of the Iranian people need to decide when this type of pressures will stop. So what the U.S. is saying is that we are going to punish the Iranian people until they choose or elect some other type of government. And they don't mean using elections within the current system. They mean having some sort of revolution. So I think what Mr. Pompeo is doing is basically saying that since we are interested in regime change, don't take us seriously with these demands that we have, because the demands that we are presenting here, no one can accept. So when you have this maximalist positions, you are not interested in a negotiated settlement. You're interested in a surrender, and Iran is not a defeated country. Iran is advancing extensively, and at the end of the day, it would be the other side that would feel sorry, because they have they had a good agreement in the JCPOA, in the Iran nuclear agreement. They got out of that, and what they're going to get next is something much less. So they have seriously damaged U.S. foreign policy with this statement and their foreign policy actions in the last since Trump has been president.
Well, you mentioned audiences, Michael Lane. Let's talk about some of the audiences. One of them, I was surprised when I heard it in the speech, was Congress and the American people. Pompeo said that we want to involve Congress more in this global alliance that we want to build, which I'm going to question you on that, how many people might or how many countries are going to hop on this, and also the American people, to convince them of Iran's malign behavior, et cetera, et cetera. Why do you think he had to highlight that? Is this in case there are options militarily that perhaps the U.S. then would want to take in order to appease Congress and also the American people?
Not yet on the other options. I think, you know, those are things to be considered down the road. I think there were two reasons why he highlighted involving Congress and the American people. The first is our country is so divided on every policy now that no matter what the Trump administration proposes, the opposition party Democrats are likely to weigh in full speed and criticize it, condemn it, and otherwise claim that it's going to be the end of Western civilization as we know. So I think there was a little bit of inoculation against the blowback he was going to get from the Democratic Party. The second thing, I think, was a direct signal to the government of Iran, and that is that the only reason President Trump was able to disengage from the JCPOA was because it was not anything that really involved Congress. There was sort of a sham vote that was come up with Senator Corker of Tennessee and President Obama that sort of said, okay, well, we don't really oppose this, I guess, maybe. I mean, it was the most weird, contorted thing that Congress has ever done. What Pompeo was saying was that he wanted to submit it, any final agreement, submit it as a treaty to Congress for their consideration. And one of the little known things about the American form of government in our Constitution is that treaties have immense force of law, more so than any other law that's just passed routinely in, by Congress and signed into law by the president. A treaty has almost co-equal status with our Constitution. So that was sort of an assurance to Iran that if there was an agreement, it would be submitted as a treaty and it would not be something that any future president could go back on.
Okay, since we're quickly running out of time, Fuad Azadi, I've got to address this to you. It seems clear to many analysts that have reviewed what has happened tonight in terms of the speech that they have reached a conclusion that in order for the international community to move in collaboration with Trump, that means that this is going to speed up the march of the United States towards war. But resisting Trump will give peace a chance. Do you agree with that? Do you feel like the U.S. wants to, and in some respects, being dictated by Israel and Saudi Arabia, wants to go to war with Iran?
They have rented, the Trump administration has rented U.S. foreign policy to the Israelis and the Saudis. This is not how an independent country operates. This is how a country operates when their national interest is taken over by people like Netanyahu and Mohammed bin Salman. So it's a sad day for the United States, for the people of the United States, to see a government that is not promoting their national interest. The U.S. government is promoting Israeli interests and the Saudi interest in this part of the world. And following Netanyahu in foreign policy is not going to be something that the United States should do, because Netanyahu is leading Israel into destruction with the types of policies that he has. So I think we can make this conclusion that this triangle of Trump, Netanyahu, and Mohammed bin Salman are following a foreign policy that's going to be isolating these three countries from the rest of the world, and Iran, at the end of the day, would be in a much better position than what it is today.
Well, it seems like we have more time. I'm going to give 30 seconds to you. If I may, if I have a chance to ask one more question. Very good. Michael Lane, another audience, the Europeans. What are they thinking when they heard the speech? What was that one of the audiences of Pompeo? 30 seconds, please.
There were no surprises in the European community. They all knew what the speech was going to contain. They all agree with parts of it. And I think they agree with the objectives, but disagree with the methodology that President Trump is pursuing at this particular point in time. It remains to be seen now, can the Europeans and the Iranians meet later this week and put together a deal that will salvage their participation in the JCPOA? That's really going to be the future, the key to the future activity of the Europeans.
Thank you very much for that. Unfortunately, that does it for this edition of the debate. Our guest, professor at the University of Tehran, Fuad Azadi, thank you. And from the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane from Washington, D.C., thank you for your comments. Until next time, it's goodbye.